Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
Kick at a pillow till it makes you tired. Bummed out my whole pack and I gave my fire, all my fire.
That's the music of Ali Spaltro, better known as Lady Lamb the Beekeeper. It's been a roller coaster ride for this 21-year-old singer who moved from Maine to Boston just this month. She started performing in public for the first time 3 years ago, and she now sings to packed houses all around the Boston area. Spaltro also won Best Folk Artist at this year's Boston Music Awards, and she joined us in our studio to talk about and play some of her music. This song is called Between Two Trees.
Emptied my pockets, laid on the pavement, stood on the mountain and I called your name. Empty your pockets, lay on the pavement, stand on the mountain, hear how I call your name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ali Spaltro, Lady Lamb the Beekeeper, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
I know you've told the story many, many times, but because many of our listeners won't know it, tell us where your name came from. Why Lady Lamb the Beekeeper?
It came from a dream. A couple years ago, right when I first started playing music, I was really inspired by my dreams, and I was dreaming very heavily and remembering them when I woke up. So I started keeping a journal by my bed, and I was training myself to wake up enough in the middle of the night while I was dreaming to be able to roll over in the dark and write things down.
Scribble in the dark.
Just scribble in the dark, phrases or like scenarios or visuals of what I was dreaming at the time. And Lady Lamb the Beekeeper was written on one of the pages one day.
Although, didn't you say that it was such chicken scratch that maybe it wasn't Lady
Exactly. It's very true. I mean, it was written so poorly, it was very hard to decipher, but that's exactly what it looked like. I mean, it could have said something very different.
So that's your name
but
as a performer.
Yes, that's where it came from.
I read in a previous interview of you that, and I should add, you're relatively young. Are you in your early 20s?
I'm 21.
So you're 21. So as recently as, I think you put it at age 12, you really didn't have that much interest in music. You didn't feel that fulfilled or inspired by it. But then when you were 14, you heard a piece of music that had a big impact on you. And this is that song.
Yes, it is. Wow.
He said, oh boy, you are so pretty. Nothing outside in, writes paper string.
It's called Song Against Sex.
Yes, it is.
It's from a band called Neutral Milk Hotel. The album is called On Avery Island. What was it about the song that changed how you felt about music?
It's so hard to describe to you. It just was one of those moments where it must have been a combination of his voice, which I had never heard anything like it at that point. And the lyrics are so sprawling, and there's so many packed into one song, and I've always been drawn to that, a very wordy song. And there was just something, everything about it within the first, 15 seconds of the song, I just started weeping out of happiness, just like I had found exactly what I'd been looking for in music.
So, Ali Spaltro, you moved to Somerville just this month, but before that you had been in Maine for several years.
Yes.
And you started performing at open mic nights in the Portland area when you were about 18?
Mm-hmm.
And is it true that on your very first open mic night, you performed to an audience that was a total size of 3?
Yes. And they were 3 musicians. They were 3 people who had played that night.
Anything from your early years you're willing to play for us so we can get a sense of your early sound?
Sure. Yeah.
What would you like to play?
I'm going
to
play a little lullaby song that I wrote during a blizzard when I first started making music.
So you were about how old?
I was 18.
Okay.
We still could dance for us. want to fly my spine like a kite, want to see you walk through that doorway and into this room where I am waiting for you. You like the sea and how the sea began with a drop of sweat soaked into a cloth, swiped across the brow of God, and how he wrung it out into sharp teeth to scales, and how the carnivore was born, and how he flung us forward into day and night, and how we floated down as if hot air balloons with consciences like faulty landings. Our bodies, thin-skinned and desirable, how I desire you. Our bodies, thin-skinned and desirable,
Alice Baltrow, you were 18 when you wrote that.
I was.
You called it a lullaby, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but it sounds like a love song.
It is. It's a love song lullaby. It's one that you would sing to someone you love.
And again, I don't mean to embarrass you. Were you writing about somebody you loved at the time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When you first started performing on these open mic nights, I also read in a past interview of you that you were so nervous on the first one that you sat in your car, and before your set time started, you almost left several times. So it was pretty nerve-wracking.
I did leave. I went as far as to drive 20 minutes to Portland and pull up to the venue and sit in my car and then circle the block about to go back home to Brunswick and then repark and sit and then just go home, just go straight home. It took me 3 weeks.
Because the idea of performing in front of people was nerve-wracking?
It was too nerve-wracking.
But you've said that once you got a taste of it, you really loved it.
Yes, I did.
Do you still love it?
I love it. I love it so much, yes.
Why?
When I first started making music, I was only making it for myself. I was doing it as a sort of therapy, and I did not plan on sharing it with anyone when I first started making recordings. But something began to happen as I reached more people and played in Portland and got my first, you know, legitimate shows, I guess, at real venues. The connection that can happen between the audience and the performer is something I've never experienced, and I can look out at a crowd and make eye contact with people and truly feel like I love them and we are in this room together at this time, and that is so special. There's something really lovely about that.
So you were relatively young, didn't have a college degree. How were you making ends meet when you were trying to be a full-time performer?
I was working at the most magnificent job. I was working at this independent DVD rental store in Brunswick called Bart and Greg's DVD Explosion. It was in a basement, and it became my practice space and my recording room. So I was renting movies to people during the day and then recording at night and practicing at night there. That's how I made my living.
It seems like you really thrived in Portland. It was a very nurturing music scene for you. But you just moved to Somerville, so why come to the Boston area?
There just came a point in Portland where the scene there is amazing, and I would not have asked to have started out in any other town in the world. It really, I'm so proud to represent Portland, but it's so tucked away. There are so many amazing bands there and just musicians who are complete gems who no one knows about, who are thriving in Portland, but if they don't leave Portland, they won't make any headway. So I just kind of needed more of a challenge, needed to reach more people.
So you felt that to grow musically, you had to go somewhere bigger, yes. And you decided Boston was
Unfortunately, yes. If you want to make more headway in the scene and reach more, you have to leave Portland eventually.
You were telling me earlier that to make your move from Maine to Somerville, you really scaled down your life.
I absolutely did. I have my car. I drive a 93 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. I love it, and it's very spacious, and so I have what fits in the car, which is all my instruments. I have a lot of them, and some clothes, and my computer. And that's really, those are the essentials. That's really all that I need.
It's like your traveling apartment.
It is. I mean, and it's very liberating. It's different. It's difficult in ways, but I love it.
You just referenced that you have a lot of instruments. So besides being a vocalist, a lyricist, you play electric guitar, sometimes banjo, sometimes glockenspiel. Is that right? So you have quite a collection of musical instruments that you use to make your music.
So many. I love layering my own recordings. So in doing that, I try to play anything I can. I have, you know, I have a bass and an auto harp and a banjo and a keyboard and a xylophone and ukuleles, really anything I can get my hands on.
Ali Spaltro, you just described Portland as sort of a tucked away music scene, and you talked about the gems of musicians they have there. And you've really talked so much about how Portland was just the right small size, slow-paced in a nice way, supportive and welcoming and not jaded and not filled with pressure and competition, a place where you could be yourself as a musician.
Exactly.
Do you think you're still going to have all that in the Boston music scene?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. I have been playing in Boston pretty regularly for about a year and a half, and I have found through playing here that it feels so similar to Portland to me here. The people are just as supportive. It feels comfortable and safe, but yet still challenging. I just started realizing lately how amazing it is that my first show, which was my introduction to playing in Boston, really was at the Lizard Lounge last November.
Just for the first time, about a year ago. Do you remember what you played at the Lizard Lounge when you first performed there?
Yes.
Can you play that?
Sure.
And what is that one going to be?
It's called Hair to the Ferris Wheel.
Hair to the Ferris
Wheel.
Yes. Okay.
And it's the song that I actually opened with and silenced the crowd with.
Silenced because they were sort of spellbound by
they
it?
They just didn't know who I was, you know, and they were like, who is this girl? And they listened, and I'll just pre-warn you, it's a pretty projected song. It's pretty loud.
I'm glad I have headphones on.
Take me by the arm to the altar. Take me by the collar to the cliff. Take me by the waist to the water. Take me by the hair to the Ferris wheel. Take me by the wrist to take me by the braid down to my grave. Oh, 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 oh. Love is selfish. Love goes tick tock.
Ali Spaltro, that's the song you played at the Lizard Lounge in Cambridge when you first performed there. And just before you played it in our studio, you said something like you got on the stage and the reaction from the crowd was kind of like, who's that kid? And I was reading a review of you earlier in which someone described you as having an old soul voice. And someone else said you have a voice that kind of simultaneously is wise and full of wonder. And it made me think that a lot of people are constantly drawing attention to your youth. You know, they don't expect an old soul voice out of someone who's 21 and maybe a young looking 21.
Yes.
I wonder if it's aggravating ever to sort of have people always put it into the context of your youth when they talk about your music.
I have just felt sometimes like I have to prove myself, prove them wrong, which is fine. You know, it's true that physically I'm very small. I'm 5'2". I'm 21, but I, you know, still get sometimes carded for PG-13 movies. You know, it's just people don't expect me to sing as loudly as I do and to bring the kind of passion that I bring with my songs. I think that when people look at me and they see me strap on a guitar, they're expecting some cutesy little song. And it's my pleasure to walk up to the mic and just start roaring into it for them and just say, no, this is actually how it is. And, you know, maybe you won't think I'm so cute anymore.
I wonder if they're also not expecting lyrics that seem so mature, like someone who's lived a lot of life and had a lot of love. Do you think that's part of it?
I think that is part of it, yes. I think people judge based on my appearance and assume that I'm going to write something that's very, you know, shallow and adorable. Yeah.
So you've gone from not being interested in music when you were a teenager to writing music prolifically to performing at open mic nights in Portland to moving on to larger New England and even New York. Now you're in Boston to become part of this music scene. What do you want to come next?
The first thing that comes to mind is I need to make a record. I really do. I have been putting it off for a while. That's long overdue. I'd also just like to play bigger venues in Boston that I haven't reached yet.
What would be the goal? What venue?
I really want to play the Paradise. I really, you know, there. For some reason, I've seen shows there. When I was 18, I used to drive to Boston for shows, and I love that venue. And there's, you know, it's just a nostalgic sort of the idea of being in the audience as a kid in high school, seeing some of my favorite bands, to being on the stage at the same venue is a goal that I'd like to reach.
Ali Spaltro, Lady Lamb the Beekeeper, thanks for coming on Radio Boston, and thanks for playing for us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To see a video of Lady Lamb the Beekeeper performing in our studio, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston.